It's almost 20 to 10. Hello, media watchers Hayden Donnell.
Kia ora.
What did you read when you were learning to read?
That early, I'm not 100% sure. I'm thinking I loved The Half Men of O.
Oh, yeah. Morris G.
Yeah. Under the Mountain as well. I remember them holding some hot rocks.
Oh, the Wilberforces.
They're constantly trying to hold hot rocks.
Yeah.
And it seemed very stressful, the rock holding. I haven't revisited that.
The Half
Probably
Men of O.
Probably traumatic in some ways.
It was part of a trilogy, The Half Men of O, wasn't it?
I believe so. Yeah. There was some warping to a different land, distant land.
That's right.
It seemed that was very exciting. The Hardy Boys, the Goosebumps one that you just mentioned. Those were all awesome. And those Wilbur Smith.
I think that's right.
The two... Boys, someone help me out here.
Text 2101 if you can help.
The two boys, Hal and maybe Roger, and they're going off and they're trying to poach some animals to bring back to their zoo. Something like that.
This is over my head, but if you can help, Aidan.
Yeah, no, Hayden, this is a very famous book. I love them.
Someone's
going to
know. People will be yelling.
There'll be angry people right now.
And so there should be.
Yeah.
Let's talk media. You would like to kick off with a roundup of a bunch of new media hires. And first off, some big news for the Stuff News Hub, 6 p.m. bulletin, the Stuff Hub, News Uff. What are we calling this?
Yeah, well, I wanted to brainstorm this with you just first up. I don't want to hijack your questions section, but what do you think we should call it? Just Stuff at 6? Stuff Hub?
Stuff at 6? Stuff at 6
I mean,
is
Stuff
nice.
At 6 is the obvious one, right? Because they want to go with their branding and it's got stuff in the name. They want to be... They've invested all this money in.
It's pleasingly alliterative.
Stuff at 6.
Yeah.
Stuff at 6. Stuff it. New stuff. Like you could just keep one S in the middle there, capitalize it. Sixy stuff. Newsable at 6. You were the host of Newsable.
That's
their podcast.
Indeed.
Stuffable. There's a bunch of ideas out there. It's pretty hard. Apparently, though, they have trademarked 3 News, so it could be a case
You would think it would be 3 News, wouldn't you?
It could be Back to the Future, go back to 3 News. But then they don't have stuff in the name, do they?
That's true.
So I was just going to say, if anyone does have a great name, along with your childhood books, please, and correcting me about what I actually read.
Willard Price.
That's it, isn't it? I knew it began with, you know, Will.
Yeah. Yes, if you would like to suggest names for the Stuff 3.
Text to 2101, please.
Yes. Anyway, let's talk about these hires because there are some big names here.
Samantha Hayes is the big name that got announced. She will be the presenter, the sole presenter, no one to banter with, just on her own, lonesome, in front of the cameras. And that was announced this week by Warner Brothers Discovery Stuff. I always love the quotes when people are announced for these because they're just so clearly not written by the person in question, like provided to them by HR. She said, it's an honour to be anchoring this new iteration of the 6 p.m. news, and I'm grateful it will keep News Hub's legacy alive. This is the most exciting news project in the country, and I hope our viewers will trust us and come along for the ride.
Well, you don't think Sam Hayes would say
that? Well, she probably would, but it does have that kind of like, a human being known as Sam Hayes vibe to it, doesn't it? It feels refracted through perfected in multiple HR
perhaps
iterations.
Has been seen by a few peers.
PR iterations, maybe not HR.
Before it saw the light of day.
Yes.
This is good news for Stuff, though, right? Is Samantha Hayes a really super recognisable figure?
Recognisable, safe pair of hands, a bit of consistency, continuity. And the big risk with this one, right, is that you have an online digital newspaper company coming in and saying, I can do TV, and the 6 p.m. news is a pretty complex and unwieldy beast, and it's got a whole bunch of stuff to it that is maybe not intuitive to people that have worked just producing newspapers. So having some continuity there, probably pretty important, and maybe it's a good sign that they're not just coming in and thinking arrogantly, we're not in the linear TV business, we're going to reform everything and radicalize it, and don't worry about it, everyone's going to watch. So that they do realize that they do need some of that expertise on board.
Samantha has, of course, co-hosted the News Hub at 6 with Mike McRoberts, who is not, it seems, joining at this stage anyway, joining her at Stuff. Do you think he might have wanted this gig?
Yeah, who knows what he wanted in his secret heart, but it was pretty gracious of him, I think, probably stepping aside and not trying to compete for it there. Maybe you wanted it. I saw the writing on the wall here. Sam Hayes is probably just younger and perhaps even more well-known than him in a way.
He's had a long career. He's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, Samantha Hayes, of course, is not the only hire. What other reporters are going to be making this move?
Some of the names that we're given: Jenna Lynch, Laura Tupou. She was the host of The Project, obviously. Ollie Ritchie, Juliet Speedy, good reporters. Zane Small, Heather Keats. On the behind-the-camera side of things, Claire Watson is the 6pm executive producer. You've got Steve Gore-Smith, currently News Hub's senior manager of operations. He's becoming Stuff's director of video. But there's some notable omissions there, right? So you didn't hear names like Michael Morrow.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of our best investigative journalists. Mm-hmm. Amelia Wade, she's done great work in the News Hub political team, been sort of eviscerating politicians on a relatively regular basis. And that doesn't mean they definitely won't be there. This is called the first tranche of people that are being brought across, but they haven't been named so far. And just from reaching out a few feelers, I do understand that some people are at least surveying their options here. They haven't confirmed that they're coming over.
Exactly. And I imagine reporters of that caliber would have a few options at their disposal as well. Now, Staff, of course, does have, some pretty oven-ready TV talent within its ranks already before all of this stuff happened with News Hub, perhaps most notably Tova O'Brien. Where do you think she fits into all of this?
Yeah, exactly. Tova,
Imogen Wells, my former co-host on Newsable. Yeah, she's Andrew Vance there as well.
Yeah, and former political gallery journalist there for TV. Yeah. So, yeah, they have a bunch of ready talent that's ready to go there. They have a good video team. You'd have to think that Tova piece is pretty alluring, right? And they've got Jenna Lynch coming over, and so you've got Tova and then her immediate successor, Jenna, and her predecessor. It would be a pretty formidable team if they had Jenna, Tova, and possibly bring on Amelia. They could bring back Patrick Gower. He's floating about somewhere.
Yeah.
Have the full gamut. And, I mean, I don't know what you would do if you were in charge of the Stuff 6pm bulletin, but it must be tempting to lean into that political side of things, right?
Because
News Hub's great strength.
Yeah, and especially with the Stuff. I mean, Stuff already has an excellent team of largely writing-focused political reporters. To expand that out to include people like Tova and Jenna, who are so good at telling stories.
It's a specific skill that's different to the writing skill and
they
putting
are,
those packages together.
They're so good at it. It's telling a whole story with barely three or four lines of scripting. It's really an art form, and they are top notch.
Yeah, it could be a pretty merciless environment, right? Because they can actually... Politicians are pretty nervous. I don't know whether it's a great thing necessarily, because it makes politicians so nervous about potentially getting soundbited and then having a... absolutely devastating voiceover overlaid over the top of you saying something stupid, but they are extremely good at that. You'd be crossing yourself as an underperforming minister before every bridge run, right?
And getting scoops as well. I mean, News Hub.
They get leaks.
They get scoops.
And so I don't know whether they're going to expand that. News Hub already relies pretty heavily on that political side of things, but they could expand it even further, I guess, and really bust it out, make it a political junkies show. It's a very tough team, right? It's kind of like a untrained Rottweiler. it's always very funny when it's attacking your enemies, but then it can turn around with its mouth slavering and attack your friends. So
I will point out that metaphor is Hayden's.
I just came up with that on the spot. I hope it won't get me in any trouble at all.
We've got some suggestions for the name of this. Stuff up at 6. Oh, no. We'll get stuffed at 6. No, I don't
get
think
get stuffed
take
at stuffed up. All that sort of stuff, I know.
News stuff, says George.
Said that one.
What about, new stuff. There's several people texting in and saying new stuff.
New stuff.
New stuff.
Because it is. It's literal.
It's true.
It's going to be new stuff by News Hub and stuff.
Yeah. Good old portmanteau. Can't beat a portmanteau. Now, let's look elsewhere. And Ryan Bridge has also got a new job.
Going to be replacing Kate Hawksby finally as the host of Early Edition on News Talk ZB at 5 a.m. Do you know who's been filling in?
Who?
See, I didn't know at all. I switch over. Sometimes I get up for basketball.
I host the night's show. I'm not up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Why are you up at 5 a.m. listening to Early Edition? No one knows who's been hosting since Kate Hawksley left. As it turns out, I switch over sometimes because I go to basketball at 6 a.m. It's just Mike Hosking.
Oh,
Mike
wow,
Hosking's up. He's getting up early. He's putting in the hours. I just want to give him credit for that.
Now, this Ryan Bridges had a pretty interesting year because last year he was announced as the new host of a 7 p.m. show on TV3, and then all of this stuff has happened, and now he has a new job, which is sort of at the other end of the clock.
It must be pretty jarring, right? Thinking I'm going to be in a suit at 7 p.m. on the TV screen, I'm going to be the new Paul Holmes, I'm going to work half an hour in the evening and I'm going to go home to bed, and then all of a sudden you're yanked out of that and you're setting the alarm for 3 a.m. So that's a pretty tough thing, but at the same time, you can't really feel sorry for him. He's got a job. It's a good job. Mm-hmm. It's probably a decently paying job, and he's got real potential. He's probably going to excel at it, and he'll probably have other opportunities at News Talk ZB. I'm guessing that this is a bit of a testing platform, and he'll be a part of the future. And obviously, others in that News Hub office won't be so lucky.
And he has radio experience. He hosted I think he worked at RNZ for a while, actually. And
oh, did he?
I think he might have earlier in his career.
He was at Magic Talk.
He was at Magic. He hosted the Drive Time show for Magic, didn't he? Afternoons.
Yes, he was. Yeah, it was afternoons. Uh-huh. It was afternoons.
Yeah.
And I mean, on the plus side, some people say that radio is fun.
Radio is fun.
Is that compelled speech or is that real?
No, it's great. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's not make this about me. It is, though. It's great. Right, speaking of new shows, this was interesting. Rupert Murdoch's Sky News is starting a New Zealand news bulletin.
Yeah, here's a clip from that.
And my job and the job of my team is to make sure that we rebuild our economy, make sure we restore law and order and deliver better public services so that people actually do feel this is a place they can see their future in.
That's the big clip. That's Chris Luxon was their first interview. I just played that clip because it's the same thing he says in every interview. That's the catchphrase from the 36-point action plan. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
It's always a rebuild the economy, restore law. It's always inserted
in. Well, it's on message. It's on message.
It's really
right?
trained. It's yeah. a very well trained on message. And it always gets into every interview. It's amazing, actually. It's like that Biden line about Giuliani. Every sentence has to have a noun and a verb and 9/11. This one has every sentence has to have a noun and a verb and rebuild the economy.
This is political communication in 2024, I suppose. Now, who is the host of this show for Sky News?
I'm so glad you asked, Emil, because this bulletin is hosted by none other than Sky News' New Zealand correspondent, Jack Nyhoff.
Who we know. Have you got the clip from This is the Mystery?
This is the story. No, it hasn't been solved, but it's given me a chance to play the tape again. Can you roll the tape, please?
Okay, I've got a ripper story coming up this weekend on Sky News. It involves sex work, the right to BYO booze to the races, and most importantly, a biscuit tin, an old biscuit tin. What do all these three things have in common? Well, I'll let you know tomorrow. It's a political story. That's another clue. And if you're confused, well, that's just Kiwi politics.
That is quite the teaser.
An amazing teaser. That's from months ago.
Months ago, January, Jack Nyhoff posted that on his Twitter account. Promised so much, hasn't delivered. Where is that story? There's no trace of it. This is once again, Mr. Nyhoff, Media Watch calling you out. Produce the biscuit tin scandal. You owe it to the people of New Zealand, and most of all, you owe it to me.
Jack, you don't owe Hayden anything.
He's got his own bulletin now. He could at least do this for me.
Let's turn to something entirely different and perhaps a bit more sober. While new stuff is announcing its new hires, TVNZ's union's fighting its bosses in the Employment Relations Authority. What does this dispute boil down to?
Yeah, basically it boils down to Etu, the union for the TVNZ staff, arguing that TVNZ didn't comply with its staff's contracts when they announced the closure of Sunday, Fear Go, among other shows, and that those staff had to be consulted on any major changes to the newsroom. Now, TVNZ, on the other hand, they're in the ERA pointing to several general consultations it carried out last year and early this year, but it has admitted, under questioning from council, that it didn't specifically raise the possibility of these shows being cancelled until it was announced they're being cancelled in March.
What does the union, E2, what does E2 actually want here? Do they want a row back on these shows being cancelled?
Well, that seems to be potentially the case, and I thought this was quite unlikely, and Colin did too when he interviewed E2's specialist negotiator Michael Wood, and he said, well, you don't expect them to bring back the shows, and Michael Wood said, well, hold on, we don't know, maybe they will. And so yeah, they are saying that the consultation was inadequate and that maybe TVNZ does need to go back to the drawing board on this redundancy process, which could result in a relatively awkward situation where the shows that were meant to be cancelled just stay on the air, I guess.
Surely that's not realistic, is it?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what can be the result of this. I mean, it does seem unrealistic, but Michael Wood said, no, that's not completely out of the question. And look, the TVNZ executives have been there saying that can't happen. You had the COO, Brent McAnulty, saying some staff have moved on and this process, if it was to restart, that would be upsetting for the staff who've moved on. I can imagine that being quite grating for some of the staff at TVNZ that are losing their jobs, because obviously maybe there might be some that would be upset because they've already moved on, but there would be probably more that are very upset to lose their jobs, and hence why this action is going ahead in the first place.
And the union has indeed seen some support from a somewhat incongruous corner this week.
Yeah, their competitor, Glenn Kine, Warner Brothers Discovery's New Zealand chief executive. He's resigning, but he's still there now. And he did an interview with the Herald's media insider Shane Curry, where he just expressed confusion about the fact that Sunday is being cancelled. He said it's a formidable night, broadcast television, obviously a competitive one, that one that they struggled to compete with, that Sunday audience. And it's also, as he mentioned, still profitable. So he said it was slightly beguiling to understand what they were doing. I'd just say seek out that interview in general. It was a good interview.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And that wasn't his only criticism of TVNZ.
No, he basically, just to boil down what he is saying, he sees them as playing kind of a zero-sum game, trying to put their competitors out of business and claim the market share for themselves, which he sees as probably counterproductive long term, because they need a flourishing media environment in the country, where they're a state-owned enterprise, needs a flourishing media environment. And one of the big gripes that he has is that he floated to them a shared news service with News Hub and TVNZ, which he said could have sustained, I guess, news at News Hub in particular, and put it to them, and then they went back the next day, just said, no, not doing it.
That really kind of cuts the quick of the tensions at the heart of TVNZ, you know, and that this is a commercial enterprise. It has a commercial mandate by law. It is not necessarily, it doesn't need to commit to a quote unquote flourishing media environment. It's trying to compete and it's trying to dominate the market as its mandate says that it should.
Yeah, which is quite different from what you'd see as a traditional public media entity like RNZ, for instance. RNZ has a bunch of content sharing agreements with other news organisations because its mandate is more to get its content in front of as many people as possible, because it has a charter that says it has to serve as many people as possible and as many groups as possible. Mm. Now, TVNZ has to make money, and so it operates like a commercial enterprise in a but it has government backing in a sense. It has this state backer that can underwrite it in a way. And this is the shortcomings of that system have really been laid bare by this whole saga, right? Because if you were just a normal public entity, even like RNZ or something more beefed up like the BBC or ABC, you'd have to think that shows like Sunday or Fair Go wouldn't be the first thing on the chopping block as soon as there's a budget crunch, right? Because these are the ones that are doing a public good. These are the ones that you're there for, to fill the gaps in the market, which the commercial sector isn't providing, and obviously do the right thing by his audiences and serve them the veggies that they're not getting alongside the sugar. And instead, that's the first thing that goes. And you'd have to wonder why do we kind of own this company if it's not providing this sort of content? Because this is the sort of content that you want out of a public agency.
Finally, about a minute and a half, Hayden, to talk about a massive surprise. Reality Check Radio is coming back.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Wild ride.
There have been questions that went off air, a month or so ago. Went off air, immediately launched with a pretty slickly produced fundraising video featuring all their stars, Peter Williams standing in a field pleading for money, and lo and behold, they got some backers to match donators dollar for dollar, and they say they're back up and ready to go. And there are some questions about whether this was all a little bit of a scheme.
Yes, Joel McManus of the spin-off is sceptical.
Yeah, he said, he wrote a piece basically saying, this seems very planned out, what's happened here. This seems like a really well-planned PR operation. He highlighted some quotes from stuff like Voices for Freedom, Reality Check Radio co-founder Alia Bland. She said, well, everyone wants your attention right now. You have to find a way to get your point across to people. So whether this was a bit of a publicity stunt to give a sense of urgency to people who might support the shows financially, the programs financially, that's sort of what the suspicion is. And that raises some questions for the media, right? Because they essentially fell for it. There was a heap of free publicity. There's heaps of links. I did a bit.
Yeah. It's newsworthy.
It's newsworthy. They're shutting down, except for, is it actually a PR stunt that we've all been unwittingly roped into, outwitted by Reality Check Radio?
Only time will tell.